Hello and welcome back to another exciting episode of Anime Tour Bus. It's me, your non-expert Eric, and who's sitting next to me? Well, that's you, listener. What's going on? You shopping for the holidays? You on the various ordering websites, or maybe you just got back from checking things out in person and stuff? You looking to get present? Metzger? Metzger's in front of us. She's our expert on this anime adventure. Metzger, what's the best present you've ever given?
Given?
Given, not gotten, given.
And, I mean, that way you would really have to... Dude, I don't know. I give a lot. I give every day I wake up, dude.
My presence alone is a gift.
I was going to say, I gave my job 13 years of my life.
Oh, shit. And I was going to talk about a statue I 3D printed for a coworker, but I guess you're bringing a different energy, Metzy.
I made millions.
I made like a little D&D figure for a coworker for like a Secret Santa thing, because I was like, this will be fun. And he liked it a lot, and he cried a little bit, but that's fine. Metzger, how would you take it if like you were leaving and you were getting lots of presents and stuff, and I gave you a leaf?
I mean, I think that I am gullible enough to where you could sell me on a leaf.
I could be sold on a leaf also. It just, you gotta add a little, like, you gotta add a little stank on it. You know how, like, you can put stank on ball? We've talked about this before.
You definitely cannot say, here, I'm gonna give you this leaf that I found on the side of the road.
And then be like, goodbye forever. You're leaving our school. Hey, listen. We're referencing one of our animes that we've watched this week, and that's Spy X Family. We also watched Chainsaw Man. We'll get to that delectable, tasty, nutritious piece here in a minute. Metzger, let's talk about Spy X Family first.
Where we left off, Anya was still studying for midterms. Anya takes her test.
Yep.
And I don't remember why Lloyd is breaking in. Is it to, he is breaking in to change her grades?
Yep.
To make sure that she can pass. And yep. What does he see?
Messer, he sees
you as a
me.
Spy?
I was about to say, what would happen if I were a spy? Because I would absolutely be doing the cartwheels and the voiceover.
And like, just grabbing, you're like, oh no, security's coming. And you just grab a light pole and hang off of it like a flag.
I could do that. I could be like, and I would make a noise too. Bzz. They're like, wow, this is the thing to keep away the teenagers, obviously. No further questions.
Eric's just like hanging off of it. It's not even hanging, but it's like standing off of it sideways or whatever. And is yelling at people as they walk by, kind of like when they play those frequencies to keep people from sleeping in parks.
Except it's me just going, ah!
Eric going, do not sleep here.
Away with ye, foul beasts.
The park is closed.
The door is ajar.
So this guy has been hired and is breaking in for what reason Lloyd doesn't know, but for also for some reason Lloyd decides that the best course of action is to help this dude further his destruction, to as if that's somehow going to minimize them collectively being caught. Like, Lloyd couldn't just like distance himself from the guy. No, they just so happen to be going to the exact same spot, and if Lloyd
was because that the security officer guy was going to call the police. And he said, like, oh, hey, you need to get and you're not going to get, I'm going to call the police. And if the police get called, then that really compromises his ability. So it's once the second that the police could potentially be called, Lloyd's like, I got you.
Really enjoy that he double crosses Lloyd. So they're not working together, but still. And thinks that he's knocking Lloyd unconscious without realizing that he is in fact Twilight.
Yeah.
And
like the double fisted, like the two handed, haha. I have never seen that actually do anything. I've been in martial arts a long time. No one's ever done anything with that double handed thing you always see in anime. I've seen that so many times in our anime where people do the clasp hands, ka-chow. So anyways, Lloyd's wide awake.
Yeah. He's just pretending to be asleep as this other dude changes the scores on the Desmond kids' tests.
Metzger, he's going to make Desmond pass, right?
No, he's going to make him fail.
Why is he going to make him fail?
We don't really know. We just know that that's the job of the spy is to make both of the Desmond kids look really stupid. I mean, at least in this episode, we don't know why. We do find out in the next episode.
Metzger, what happens when the guy says, hey, I'm going to make sure everybody knows I was here. I'm going to put my signature on it.
Lloyd laughs at the guy. Is just in awe and stands up and shouts at him and is like, you're a fucking idiot.
and the big problem here is that like Anya's grade is also in that case. So the guy says, I was here. All those tests are now suspect. Like his whole fucking plan goes to shit. This guy's the biggest dummy on the planet.
Much. I mean, Lloyd ends up fixing all of the tests. Fix the Desmond kids who got near perfect marks. And then has a change of heart and decides that a pass is a pass.
She's getting degrees.
Yeah, that Anya worked so hard on her own that if she passed, then that's good enough.
Well, I mean, initially he was trying to make sure she didn't just like outright fail.
Yeah.
And that was the concern, right? Because then she would get the little thunderbolts. And that's a bad time.
Yeah, and if you get 8 of them, then you get expelled.
Yeah.
And she's already got 1. From beating up kid. Or does she have 2?
No, she has 1. And then she has a star.
Yeah, but they don't exactly knock each other out.
No.
It's not like one gets rid of the other. You can have both.
Honestly, for her, it's a race to the stars before the thunderbolts get there.
It's like, Anya, you can't stop the thunderbolts. You just kind of have to run for the stars and hope that you get there fast enough.
Yeah, she's going to get her some thundies. All right, so that's the gist of at least this first one.
Yeah, and so then they learn where they place, and, you know, she's not failing, but everyone kind of, like, at first they're going to make fun of her, but She's too happy that the mission is just safe to where, like, everyone feels bad for making fun of her. But zip, zoom, fast forward, they have to clean up the courtyard, and one little boy who kind of looks like Frankenstein.
I thought Frankenstein, too.
Baby Herman Munster, but not as nice. Man, he's just like an amalgamation of a whole bunch of things.
He's the most evil-looking child.
This kid's dad is the CEO of a pharmaceutical company that has been bought out by the Desmond Group. And he's really not having a good time with this. So much so that he plots, like, he somehow believes that it's all Damien's fault. And that if he can get him expelled from school, then they're going to be way too concerned with him being a flunky to buy out the company that his dad owns.
Cause family chaos, it causes distraction.
And I guarantee you that I don't believe that is going to be something that Damien's dad is going to... I mean, I'm sure he cares whether or not his kid fails, more so for status than for anything else.
Yeah, he would just be like, I'm ashamed of you. And that would be the end of the conversation.
And he will just continue bankrolling companies. So you probably just, how you say, gets put in second most prestigious school in the East. I don't know, this was a really weird episode for me, because the bit went on a little too long. The bit would get, it's like a baby roller coaster. You start to get good, and then I kind of get done with it, and then...
I was on Anya's side at a certain point, I was like, and here's the leaf. Like, everyone else was...
Just go.
Yeah, I was 100% with her, and obviously this kid's trying to fucking milk it, right? This is my last day. I love the switcheroni at the end.
He was at the beginning, like, trying to milk it, and then at the end, when they're all standing on the steps, like, he's genuinely touched and has a change of heart, and then is embarrassed out of his fucking mind when he has to go back the next day.
I love his secondhand embarrassment for him.
I love his dad being like, no, what are you talking about? Are you stupid? You're gonna go to school tomorrow. You're gonna go to school.
Jeez, what?
Did you get your homework done?
Yeah, I love the, have you finished your homework? Like, at the end was just like, oh, I didn't even think I had a homework no more.
Oh, man. So then, like, the second half of the episode it's a journey about
so the whole thing starts of like Anya is Anya's sleeping in a little bit. Oops, I overslept. I did that. Just I almost missed a flight because I overslept a little bit. And that was a bad time. And then I got ready in 2 minutes and I was like, okay, this sucks, but I'm gonna do it. And you know, I was good. And so anyways, same thing. And he's like, oh no, as her mouth is stuffed full, she's like trying to eat and get ready. And oh no, yours home. Yours sees. Oh, Anya left her gym clothes on her desk. Oh no.
We have to quickly. I like how your overthinks things.
100%. Like,
how could she be such a cold, calculating assassin, but also be like, if I don't get better at cooking, then my husband will leave me and then everyone will know that I'm not normal.
Reasoning is always just a little bit crazy, like a little bit dumb, but in like a very specific your kind of way. Yor says, I know, I'm gonna have to, like, get this to Anya. And then she's trying to strategize as to how to get the clothes to Anya while also trying to get there. And she's outside and, like, reflexively catching potted plants as they fall. And then kicking them several stories back up into the air without really thinking about it. Honestly, goals, if I'm being true.
I her level of parkour is far beyond anything I'll ever be able to obtain in this world.
I know, she was like parkouring and I was like, man, I gotta get into shape. As she like zooms past people, I was just like, I gotta lose a couple pounds.
Man, I really gotta work on that cardio.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my knees. I turned 29 recently, and the day I turned 29, I experienced knee pain. And I was like, oh, no. There goes my parkour career.
Yeah, at 29. The door, at 29. You just hear the door closing,
At 28, I could have parkoured for days. 29, I need a walker.
Like, this is kind of just a tiny bit. I mean, Lloyd sees her at the school. It's kind of like, oh, is she here to jeopardize the whole mission? So then he kind of like checks up on her and she's like, I'm so dumb. I should have just looked at Anya's schedule. As Anya then tells her, like, hey, I don't have gym today.
And there's this whole thing of, like, Lloyd concerned that she's finally figured him out or, like, you know, knows he's not at the hospital and shit and things like that. He's concerned. But she's really let down. She thought she was doing a good job being a mom and stuff and all that. And so Lloyd catches up with her. And, like, they have this conversation. Like, she explains, like, oh, here's what I was doing and stuff. It was my line of reasoning. And, he steps in when she starts expressing these, like, worries about not being a good mother. And he's like, you know, she's kind of sad. And, like,
feel better, I need food.
Yeah. And honestly, that would work for me.
Okay.
I mean, somebody says, hey, you're doing a good job. You want some food? I'll be like, yeah.
Don't eat your feelings.
I'll take some food. Listen, that's been my ongoing issue for years, is like food being a comfort source for me.
Don't eat your feelings.
All right. So, that basically concludes that little segment.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. We ready for our socials?
Yeah.
Listener, if you're eating your feelings.
If you're afraid that Twitter is going to die in a fiery tailspin to nowhere.
Listener, if Elon Musk concerns you, if you are working at Twitter and you have a handful of concerns, we'll tweet them at us, anime_bus on Twitter. If this Thanksgiving you're eating your stress and cares away and you want to apparently know about Mesker, I learned this. Okay, this is going to get a little bit dark for a second, but apparently one of the things that, like, is actually very common for the suicide hotline that you would not think is the case is that they actually have a recommended list of anime that they recommend to individuals who are dealing with thoughts of, like, depression or, like, you know, frustration, any types of things. They have a list ready of anime for these people to watch because apparently there's a consistent enough crossover between people that call in and also enjoy anime and might, you know, respond well to seeing positive animes that could modify their mood, be a source of comfort to them, things like that. And listener, if you're dealing with that kinds of, like, pain and frustration, hey, you've got a friend in me, and you can reach out to that friend at Anime Tour Bus on Instagram. Give us your recommendations. What brings you up? What animes do you like, and how do you like our animes? And that's where you can interact with us and find comfort in the fact of, like, two freaking weirdos, one of them an expert, one of them a non-expert, on our website, meyouandweeboo.wordpress.com. Now back to the animes. Hey, Metzger, do you remember your first kiss?
Yeah, no, maybe. Yeah.
Do you think you remember it?
I think so.
This is such a girl thing who barely remembers her first kiss. Meanwhile, I, as a dude, have held on to that memory as though I'm clutching the crystal that will save the world at the end of the movie.
It was a dumb first kiss, though. So, like, it's one of those want to forget.
Do share. That's even better.
It's just like a loser. Like, he was really popular in school, so the fact that he took any interest in me was just kind of like, oh, wow. And it was like a school field trip, like one of those overnight ones. And I was like put in a position to where like I was in his hotel room, like kissed this guy, and then was just kind of like, I don't actually feel anything. It's almost like the hot popular guy is not worth kissing. Like,
that's a Metzger hot take. Even as a teen, she was not like the other warlocks.
I mean, as he was so very pretty, and everyone loved him, and like he had an on again, off again girlfriend who was also just absolutely gorgeous. So for him to be like, you in my hotel room, let's make out. Also, it wasn't just a kiss. It was a full-on make-out session. And it just kind of, like, I broke it off and was like, I think I'm good. I'm going to go back to my room now. Thanks.
You're like, I think there was, like, some key lime pie in the, like, lobby that I'm wanting more than you. Hey, I was at a formal dance, and the girl that I ended up dating for a year and a half and then who toyed with my heart for the next decade, she was my first kiss, and I was like, you know, this is the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to me. I was head over heels for this girl. It was the nicest, most like wonderful thing that I could possibly imagine. And it was dark, and I barely knew anyone because it was a winter dance for a different school what I went to and stuff. And
oh,
like,
my God,
she was so pretty, and she had big curly hair, and I was like, ah, my heart. Yeah.
The literal dichotomy of ours, where you were at a room, like, yours was the most feminine, most romantic, like, experience of your life, and mine was a cheap hookup moment of opportunity in a hotel room.
And, like, the lights were dim, and there was, like, a slow dancey song that was popular in the early 2000s, and
I mean, TV was playing in the background.
I did the thing where you put your hand on their, like, jaw, like, the little, like, side cheek jaw part and guide in. And I didn't know anything about kissing, so honestly, good on me. And it was great. And then later on, her mom drove me home. So, yeah, the ending kind of was a little question, but it was fine. We were making googly eyes in the back seat. And It was overall just really nice, and no one puked in my mouth.
Yeah, and I mean, definitely you started this by jumping ahead also, because where we left off was a cliffhanger where they were in a hotel room or a hotel hallway that they could never leave.
Yep.
And it's pretty much like, give me Dingy or you're all gonna die.
And so they gave him Dingy after a long battle.
Well,
long
okay.
Discussion with knives.
So we do a little bit of world building. Like, I enjoy how this anime does its world building, because instead of it just giving you, like, a stupid tutorial, like, it just gives you little pieces of world and lore as things are dropping, to where, you know, the thing goes, hey, humans, I'll give you a contract. And, you know, Dingy being an idiot, which I'm going to talk about that in depth in a little bit.
Okay.
Dingy the idiot goes, whatever, you probably wouldn't let them go even if they did kill me. And then Aki has to be like, actually, a contract is a very serious word, and if either side doesn't follow through on their end, then they die. And it's like, oh, thank you for that little knowledge bomb.
I mean, listen, I needed that too, so I was with Dingy on this.
I just really appreciated how they take those small moments to flesh out their universe so we understand the rules as viewers without feeling like we're being talked down to.
Yeah.
Just talked down to Dingy instead.
Yeah. And then I'm over here like that fucking dummy not knowing about contracts.
I do love Power being like, I'll take the contract, and it's like, fiends can't take contracts. And then it's like, well, let's, you know, let's go back to a room and think about it. And she's like, you want to wrestle?
Which honestly, in that moment, I related to Power. And just being like, let's wrestle. I'm going to fight.
No, because you're just going to try and kill Denji. Okay. And they panic so much. They start infighting. They feel a lot of pressure. And they really don't like what's going on. Kobini. That's her name, right? Kobini. Kobini. Not Konbini, which is a convenience store.
Okay.
Convenience store, like this, your local 7-Eleven in Japan is called a Konbini.
Nice.
So I think it's nice. Really, I had to ask while watching this, is her name Konbini? Kobini. Cool. Goes to stab Denji, because we find out that this thing is growing off of their fear. And what devil is...
Oh, this is a Infinity Devil, right?
Yeah, it's Infinity Devil.
And our girl's straight panicking. She's
Like,
oh god, give it to him. I'm gonna give him the knife. Gonna give him a little pokey poke.
And they give you a little bit of foreshadowing that there's that Aki has a sword that has a very powerful contract bound to it.
He could kill this demon, for sure.
He could definitely do it, but the cost would be too great. Or at least that's what the ghost hand girl thinks.
Because it costs years of his life.
Yeah, and honestly, everyone in this group except for Aki thinks that Denji's not worth that. But they haven't seen Denji in motion yet, right? Only Aki has seen Denji going at shit, and even then, that's only kind of when he's running out of juice.
Yeah.
So, Kobini stabs Aki. Power, who's been rambling about how she's gonna get a Nobel Prize, agrees to help keep Aki's blood inside of him so he doesn't die.
Begrudgingly.
Yeah, pretty much. It sounds like more work than what she wants to put into something. And then Denji goes, fine, you want me, you can have me, but, you know, I'm not going to go down without a fight. And he pulls a chainsaw cord and jumps down into this Infinity Devil. And just starts ripping through it and starts to run out of gas. And then he learns a cool thing about himself, that if he drinks demon blood, it recharges his chainsaw powers.
My boy heals.
And I get pissed at him. I get real angry. Because he discovers that he is a perpetual motion machine and says that he's on his way to his own Nobel Prize.
And that makes you upset?
Yes, because Denji is so stupid that he doesn't know what good manners are. We learned that he doesn't even really know how to read kanji, but this dude knows theoretical physics and what the Nobel Prize is.
Yep. And he knows that perpetual motion hasn't been achieved yet, so he can do that.
Denji, what the fuck, dude? You can barely even read.
So, there my boy is, inside of the pit of Infinity, and just going buck wild, just
for
having a good time.
3 days.
3 days. I'm not gonna lie. A couple hours, I'd be a little sleepy.
I mean, I think most people are. Everybody else in the group is bored and tired and freaking out. Denji's a man with a purpose at this point. It's drink blood and rip guts.
Yeah.
Is it rip and tear?
And so, finally, the thing's like, this sucks. Here's my heart. Kill me.
Yeah, can you imagine what that's like, where it's just like, fine, just please, it hurts so much, I can't deal with it anymore, I would rather be dead.
I feel like he would at least be like, I don't know, hey, maybe I can keep living, and y'all just go?
No, he can't fathom it anymore. But even then, Denji is like, fine, I guess I'll kill you.
Yeah, a begrudging.
Fine.
It almost sounded like Denji was like, no thanks, I'm gonna keep going.
Yeah, he's just kind of like starting to learn the bottoms of his power. Like, he's now learned that he can just drink blood and keep going indefinitely.
And it tastes bad. Like, no doubt the blood he said tastes bad.
But the fact that he gets to keep hurting him makes it taste sweet as candy.
And so they all get out. They all escape. They get, like, one of the bullets from the demon monster thing. And they're able to get out. And we see that Aki's, like, this dude's one of the few that can kill the... Or I think has a chance of killing the gun demon. And, they make it out. And he's very sleepy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody's sleepy. Like, they fast forward a little bit and are like, you know what? We should maybe apologize to Denji. And, like, let's all go out for drinks.
And so they're all like, oh, have a nice drink. And Denji's 16, so he's drinking tea. And they're like, ooh, this food's great, wonderful. And Power's being like, my fried chicken! No one else touch!
Yeah, I do like how she's being like, relinquish the sashimi!
And, they're having a great time. And, I mean, the one girl that promised a kiss, she's apparently, the more drunk she gets, the more kind of touchy-feely she gets, right?
They also invite Makima, the one who the boss lady who maybe promised more than a kiss to Denji for killing the gun devil, which he hasn't done yet. So now he's like conflicted because he really wants this kiss because he's a man of simple pleasures. But he also knows that it was probably a bad look to make out with one of your coworkers in front of your boss.
Who you want to make out with?
Especially when that boss maybe have promised you, like, a home run.
Yeah. But that's okay, Metzer, because his first kiss goes perfectly fine.
Oh, his first kiss goes absolutely terrible.
I cringed and looked away and, like, had, like, a full body shiver. And, like, it's like, two frames. Because there's the frame of, like, clearly the vomit's in his mouth, and then clearly he swallowed. I know. It hit me pretty bad. I did not like it.
The moment where you're just watching them kiss, and you're just watching these tongues, and he's just being like, oh, her tongue is so soft. And then he's, like, it really starts to throw me for a loop, where he's being like, it's melting in my mouth. And then, and then it gets worse.
I thought demon tongue. There was a moment in the description I thought, oh, she's obviously something special. Got something with a ghost arm, maybe something else, maybe. And all that demon tongue or something. And then, nope! I would have rather had demon tongue.
I mean, I thought that maybe it was some sort of slug creature. Thought, like, she'd passed him. Like, passing something from her mouth to his mouth. Maybe it was a mollusk.
Nope, it was vomit. She was very drunk.
She vomited into his mouth.
So my boy's puking for days.
Oh, yeah. And that one guy that wanted to kill him is, like, helping him in the bathroom.
Holding his hair back.
Yeah, and it's like, I kind of feel jealous that you're such a good devil hunter. And Denji's just like, dude, you're jealous? My first kiss tasted like puke.
And then the guy laughs at that. He likes that a lot. And then, I mean, so she takes Denji home.
No, she doesn't.
That guy dropped him off?
Yeah. Because you see it.
See, that's what I thought happened, but then I was like trying to do the math of how he ended up there.
So what happened is he, like, as they're being like, all right, everybody, thanks for the drinks, good night. Makima's like, I'm going to escort Aki and his household home. And, you know, puke girl's already taken care of. And then she turns around and she's like, where's Denji? And you see him on the back of that other guy.
Yeah.
And then he wakes up being like, water, water. Which it's like, why is Denji fucked up right now? Other than just having thrown up so much, I guess. And he's in the bed of Ghost Arm. And she, like, passes him more fluid, which is more than we need, via kiss. I think this is a beer, though, right?
I think it's like, a beer, yeah.
Because that's definitely what she needs more of. And she's in her underwear, and she's like, did I bring you here? I must have brought you here. You want to fuck?
I will say, the underwear, a cute look. However, the, like, kissing him, then laying next to him, and then the long pause. Want some fuck? Like, that threw me for a loop.
I have a really
credits.
Big problem with that, considering the fact that they did establish his age as 16 earlier in the episode.
Yep.
Which, I know she's way drunk. I don't know. Dude.
And then she's like, I think in her mid to late 20s.
I don't know.
So it's a problematic age difference, to say the least.
I mean, she is very
drunk. Which is also a little bit not great. If I'm just going to throw things out there, like, that's also not great.
No, I wonder, like, what that's building to.
I wonder if they're going to pick up on that next episode, because I can't imagine Denji gets it so soon.
Have you been watching the outros?
I was looking for an outro, and I didn't see one.
Well, I just mean the ending credits.
Oh, yeah, they change each time.
Yeah. Did you like how someone 3D rendered them, like, her vomiting into Denji's mouth?
I turned it off.
We had a pretty good laugh about
it. I refused.
It was a good guess. I prefer the rainbow puke over the puke that was actually...
Yeah, when I saw the rainbow puking back and forth, I was like, no. Listener, if you like the rainbow puke that comes out of our mouths into your ears... again, you should check out our socials, anime_bus on Twitter, anime_tourbus on Instagram, and meyunweeboo.wordpress.com. You can also check out my podcast. It's called Science Snacks, where I talk about research papers in, like, a fun and digestible way that involves zero puke. It's easily digestible, doesn't come back up on you, and has Nobel Prize winning works, or just really fun stuff. I have a new one coming out over how to shoot ghosts with lasers. So look forward to that. Hey listener, we're coming up to the stop. And this bus stop, you have to get off, because the bus will enter the void and all organic materials are destroyed. It's actually like how we keep the bus clean, you know, like skin cells and stuff like that. We don't want dust to get everywhere and things, but it does kill on contact. So until next time, bye.